Woo, woo. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you are getting ready for a fantastic weekend. Hopefully you can make more than two of your 19 three-point attempts. Hopefully you can do a whole bunch of things this weekend better than that. How you guys feeling this morning? How you doing, LZ?
I'm not in a good place, Travis. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm not in a good place, man. I'm a little worried. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little and a lot. It's just Dame Lillard last night hit more three-pointers than almost the Lakers as a team has hit in the last three games combined. I just looked it up. I'm not even making it up.
I know you're not. That's what's sad.
Dame Lillard's 11 three-pointers rivals the 3-2 that the Lakers have just made in the last three games. Like, I get not knocking down shots tonight. I get certain players being cold. But an entire team at the point to which we're now running away from the three-point line as if we've been taken over by the ghost of Lonzo Ball and Ben Simmons has now made me a little bit nervous. A little bit nervous because that dude that just made 11 three-pointers last night might be the dude we face in the first round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's not the dude. Then the other dude, Devin Booker, might be that dude. Either way it goes, I'm a little concerned. I'm going to be honest with you.
The two teams that we thought were probably the most likely going into a regular end of the season, Memphis and New Orleans, they're just dead in the water. That's not going to happen for either one of them. Phoenix and Portland, like you mentioned, they're the ones that are probably the most scary right now and certainly the most likely. Here are just the cold, hard numbers for the Lakers. Last night against Houston, they were 2 of 19 from behind the line. 2 of 19. Like you said, LZ, going back a couple of games against OKC a couple of nights ago, 5 of 37, which is equally terrible. The one game they won in their last four, Utah, they made 9 of 26, which is 35%, which is just about the bottom end of where you want to be when it comes to shooting threes. Against Toronto, the other game they've lost in this 3 out of 4 skid, they made 10 out of 40. That's 25%. And to your point, it's not just that the ball's not going down. It's that last night they stopped shooting it. That's the problem to me that's the bigger one. Because I understand that we've all played enough basketball to know that sometimes the ball's just not going down. But once you hit one, two, you feel better. It's like, okay, I know I can make these shots. It just feels like there's a lid on the basket for a quarter or a half or maybe even a game or maybe a couple of games. But something really crazy has to happen for you to stop letting it go. And that's where the Lakers are. They're just stopped shooting the ball. I mean, this is a much bigger issue than them missing a bunch of shots. It's them not taking shots. Like you said, this is a Ben Simmons thing. This is not that he can't shoot. This is that he won't shoot. And the Lakers, 19 threes, I get you only made a couple of them. But you got to break that egg. You got to knock a couple of these down. So when you do go play Phoenix, when you do go play Portland or whoever your first-round opponent's going to be, you're not coming in going 2 for 19 or 1 for 11 or whatever the number might be. Keep shooting that ball because they're going to go down eventually. They didn't forget how to shoot. They're just shooting terribly. Let's get through the terrible part and get to the part where you're more normal. And that's not going to happen if you stop shooting the ball.
No, it's not going to happen if you stop shooting the ball. But I honestly don't know what is going on. AD has just had his second game in the bubble in which he's taken less than 10 shots. Mm-hmm. He had almost as many turnovers, 7, as he had field goal attempts, 8. I don't understand. The only person that's happy in the bubble is Kyle Kuzma. And I'm starting to think we should put him in the bubble wrap. We should put him in bubble wrap and just franchise him right now because the bubble coos is way better than Freebird coos. Bubble coos is blocking James Harden. No, bubble coos is running down James Harden. Bubble coos is knocking down threes and playing defense and creating for others. In addition to knocking down open jumpers, bubble coos is a baller. The Freebird Cruz, we were trying to figure out what was wrong with them when the team was clicking. Now that we're in the bubble, Cruz is like, this is my natural habitat, while the rest of the Lakers roster seems to just be all out of sorts, including LeBron James, who sat out because either he had a sore groin or he just didn't feel like it. You take your pick. Either way it goes, it led to a very sloppy game with 24 total turnovers. As I said, Anthony Davis leading the way.
Yeah, look, I
and this is my last damn day, too, by the way.
I know.
This is my last damn day, by the way, Travis.
Yay!
I got my damn unicorn onesie on. I'm making steak and eggs.
Is that what that was? Because when we were on our call this morning, when we were on our FaceTime call this morning, you know, you're looking at it on your phone. The boxes are little. You can't really quite make out what's going on. I saw there was some sort of color on the front of your shirt, but I couldn't tell. It's a unicorn onesie is what we're doing, huh?
Yes, yeah, I'm wearing a unicorn onesie because I am a unicorn.
I know.
And so on occasion, I like to remind myself I am a unicorn.
What's the most famous unicorn
variety?
What's the most famous unicorn? Is it Never Ending Story?
LZ. Wasn't there a cartoon unicorn like not My Little Pony? My Little Pony have a unicorn buddy?
I don't know, Travis. We'll have to look that up.
I think that's right.
Relaxing my little pony knowledge. I'm sorry about that. I'm typing in right now, most famous unicorn. Most famous unicorn. But yeah, I brought it up only to say that I am in the midst of trying to have a nice celebratory morning, but I woke up feeling foul because of what the Lakers have looked like and where things are headed. I can't find a famous unicorn list right now.
Let me throw this out at you. If there is a silver lining, and you had to squint pretty hard to find one last night, but if there is a silver lining, like you just mentioned, LeBron didn't play last night because of groin injury or other reasons. It's never been more clear that he's the best player in the league. Never. Because without him, they did not look like a team missing their best player last night. They looked like a bad team. I mean, there's a difference between – we've seen Milwaukee play without Giannis a handful of times. Milwaukee doesn't look like a bad team without Giannis. Milwaukee looks like a team missing their best player. There's a huge difference between those two things. And I'm not saying the Lakers are a bad team without LeBron. What I'm saying is last night they looked like a bad team. They looked like a team that couldn't get anything going. They looked like they gave in around the middle of the third quarter. Like, basically, all right, it's not going to happen tonight. Then they made that run with that weird lineup where it was Talon Smith and Markieff Morris and Dwight and J.R. Smith. They just had a weird lineup out there, and they cut it back into single digits. You're like, all right, but Anthony Davis was on the bench at this point. All of their regulars were either not playing at all or on the bench, and they just looked like a team that wasn't any good, and that's a real problem. LeBron has been historically very, very healthy, and I think this is probably more of just a rest than anything else. He made some cryptic comments that we'll get to in a minute. But without him, Anthony Davis. This has been the question mark for him for a long time. Why was his team never great, despite him being a great player? That looked a lot like that last night because his numbers weren't good. They weren't terrible, but like you said, he didn't shoot the ball a whole bunch. And I understand there's some extenuating circumstances, but he does not look like a guy that can say, "All right, guys, everybody get on my back. Here we go. We're going to get this done." Because that team last night looked bad.
No, they did look bad. First, to answer your question, My Little Pony had three unicorns. Their names were Moon Dancer, Majesty, and Glory. But the unicorn that I remember is the She-Ra unicorn. She-Ra's horse, when she became from the princess to She-Ra, her horse would turn into a unicorn during the transformation. So you have both My Little Pony as well as She-Ra, who I believe was the cousin to He-Man.
You were unfamiliar with the My Little Pony, and I'm gonna have to take your word on She-Ra because I kind of get he reminds me of Mark Davis, but the other guy, the rest of the crew in the He-Man universe, I'm a little lax on knowing where those guys are. All right,
She-Ra's the cousin who comes to the family reunion, and no one ever ate the Jell-O she would bring. She always kept bringing that same Jell-O mold. I'm like, oh, oh, She-Rock, thank you so much for bringing Jello. And they never set it out. You know that cousin.
I know the Jello mold for sure. All right. Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with the Lakers and whether or not it's a problem that needs to be fixed in the short term. That's coming up next. All right, Lakers really struggling all of a sudden inside of the Orlando bubble. Joining us right now is ESPN's Bobby Marks. He is an ESPN front office insider. Bobby, good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm good, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Well, Bobby, I'll feel a lot better if you told me that the fact that the Lakers can't shoot to save their collective lives during the of this reopening of the NBA season, it's just a typical little fluke. And when playoff comes, we're going to shoot 40% from three and everything's going to be okay. Can you do that for me, Bobby?
Well, I hope so. I mean, because if you don't, you're going to be losing the first round probably to Portland. I mean, if that's who's going to be there in that eight seed, I think, yeah, I mean, I look at, where everyone was back in mid-March and kind of where teams are right now. And I think for the Lakers, the goal is, I've always said, is try to get to the first round in one piece, healthy. Their shooting has not been good at all. I think, certainly defensively, there's been some lapse there. I think it's somewhat of a concern compared to where we saw them in when the season ended and compared to right now. But if you get to, if you get to that first round, you have LeBron and AD, I give them a strong chance to get, to continue to getting out of each round here. But this playoff or this bubble environment, what it's teaching us is that a lot of teams are even here, guys. I mean, there's not much of an advantage that teams have over each other. And I think if there wasn't a stoppage, the Lakers would have had a clear advantage because of home court, playing at home in front of your fans. Now when you play in an empty gym, the talent level really evens out.
Bobby, does it feel to you like this is almost a brand new season? It just that the layoff was so long. It was about the length of a typical offseason that whatever was working back in March, there was no guarantee that it's going to work here in the middle of August. Does it almost feel like a totally brand new season?
Oh, definitely. I think yesterday, Denver played Portland last night, and, the Nuggets are fighting for a 2 or 3 seed, and most of the guys didn't even play. I mean, and they had a fourth quarter lineup with all their young players. I think that, teams like Denver, they're content if it's going to be Utah or Houston or Oklahoma City. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're a 3 seed or a 6 seed because of, as I said before, that everything has evened out so much, and how much different it is that you're starting to see the toll that these games are taking on players' bodies. With Miami, with Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic have injured. It wasn't about game one when AD and LeBron played 35, 36 minutes. It was about game two, game three, game four, and how these players will recover. And that wouldn't have been the case back in mid-March before this season was postponed. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a continuation of the 2019-20 season. I think it's a brand new season where we've got basically 8 seeding games to tune up. And I don't know. I mean, before the season was postponed, I would have said, yeah, Lakers, Clippers, Western Conference Finals. I don't know right now because of because of where everyone is going to be in 10 days from now.
When you take a look at some of the players and teams in the bubble who are playing well, maybe even better than what they did prior to the stoppage, who stands out the most? Is it Warren, the Pacers? Is it Booker? Is it Michael Porter Jr.? Like, who's really has come back and looked like they took an offseason to come back as a new player?
Gary Trent Jr. I mean, he is.
Oh, excellent pick. Excellent pick.
I mean, he's shooting 22 to 35 from three. I mean, where do we see those numbers before? And I think Portland is interesting, guys. If I'm the Lakers, I'm hoping that Memphis or New Orleans or Phoenix gets that 8 seed. That Portland's dangerous because they're healthy. You've got Nurkic. You've got Collins back. you got Carmelo playing the three. You got Lillard and McCollum as the backcourt, and you got Gary Trent coming off the bench shooting the lights out of the ball, lights out. So yeah, I think Gary Trent. I think certainly where Devin Booker is right now, how high of a level he's playing. T.J. Warren. I think T.J. Warren in Indiana has basically taken the load off of Victor Oladipo based on Oladipo on some type of minutes restriction, but. Yeah, there are a lot of guys that you can tell have kind of worked in that 3 to 4 month layoff.
Bobby Marks is joining us, ESPN front office insider. And Bobby, you know, you talk about how it's kind of all wide open right now and these teams look different than they did prior to the bubble. Where does Houston fit into this whole thing? I mean, watching them last night, obviously no Russell Westbrook, but we've seen them look pretty sharp inside this bubble. Are they right there with the Lakers? Are they right there with the Clippers? Could they be the Western Conference rep in the finals?
I think they need a healthy Eric Gordon to come back here. And, you know, he's coming off that sprained ankle. And we'll see if he'll be back for round one. Yeah, I mean, Harden-Westbrook, you know, combination, anytime they're on the court, they're as, you know, as dangerous as any team in there. I think the big thing will be, you know, does the whole small ball lineup work, especially against in the West where, you know, if you're the Lakers and you've got AD, and if you're Utah and you've got Gobert or OKC and Steven Adams and Jokic and Denver, where, you know, teams are not going to adjust just because you go small, they're gonna leave a big lineup out there. But yeah, they're gonna be interesting because they're probably gonna be somewhere in that 4-5 range. I mean, they might get OKC, which would be a heck of a matchup. They might get Denver, so they could probably go anywhere from getting to an NBA Finals to potentially losing in round one.
When you look at some of the injuries that you talked about earlier, you know, guys sitting down to rest their bodies, or heaven forbid something like happens to Ben Simmons. If you were in charge of a franchise right now, how serious do you go at these games? Bobby?
Did we lose Bobby there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear the question?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I think every team is different, guys. I think if you're competing for that back end of that eight, you know, that eight seed in Portland and New Orleans, Phoenix, yeah, you're probably playing guys extended minutes. I think everyone else, I'm managing minutes. I'm playing guys. I'm treating it probably more like an exhibition game here, where it's, you know, I'm playing guys 25 to 30 minutes, probably what Milwaukee did the other night against Brooklyn, where Giannis and Chris Middleton are not playing the second half. I think that's the goal as far as to get these guys healthy.
Just as a quick follow-up, is that what the Lakers are doing? Can we feel better saying maybe that's what the Lakers are doing, not taking this very seriously, treating it like an exhibition?
Yeah, I think the goal is to get into shape, right? I mean, they got there in mid-July. I think to get through these seeding games unscathed without any injuries. I know you've got no Rondo and certainly no Avery Bradley there. I think it's to experiment with different lineups. You've got, you know, with Waiters and J.R. Smith, new faces. How do they fit in? I think the big thing will be for Frank is to figure out kind of what is his 8 or 9 man rotation. So I wouldn't get caught up with, you know, last night or what we're going to see in the next, you know, couple, you know, 2 to 3 games. Because as I said, you know, when you get LeBron and you get AD on the court, if those guys are on the court, you've got as good a chance as any team out there.
Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, joining us. So, I mean, when you look at the East, we look at Milwaukee and Toronto. Are those the two teams that seem likely in the East, or could we still see a Boston slide in there? We know Philadelphia's got the Ben Simmons injury. Is it a 2-3 horse race in the East, or still just Milwaukee and everybody else?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee and Toronto. I think Toronto definitely, because they're the ability to kind of lock you up, right? I mean, you saw that at the end of that Laker game. This has kind of been like a business trip for them. I do think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because everybody is talking about Milwaukee here. They'll get Orlando probably in round one, and Milwaukee will probably get Brooklyn. So those round ones are very different than what you'll see out in the Western Conference here. I'd like Miami a little bit, but yeah, the Butler foot injury, Goran Dragic is nicked up, concerns me. What does Boston do? Is Kemba Walker going to be at full strength? I mean, they're an interesting matchup if it's Toronto, Toronto-Boston in round two. Philly, I don't know what to say about Philadelphia just because of with the Simmons injury here. I don't think they have enough to probably even get out of round one if Simmons is not on the court.
You know, switching gears just for a second, the NBA has been very diligent, as well as the WNBA, in keeping the message on track. Do you feel as if, in terms of the social justice conversations that have been happening, that this is going to be isolated to the bubble, or can you see elements of what we're witnessing right now in a normal circumstance going forward, with either names on the back or phrases on the back or Black Lives Matter on the court, et cetera? Have you heard anything like that?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but I don't think this is going to be just a 3-month sample of things. I think there's a tsunami of things to come, and this is only going to pick up, especially when we get to November, with the election, the start of the season in December. I don't think this is just a 3-month thing, guys. I think the NBA players and the WNBA players have woken up a lot of people here, right, as far as what is going on in the world, because there's going to be another situation, hopefully not, but the reality is probably there will be a month from now or a week from now or maybe even today. And I think the players on both sides have made it pretty clear that their voices are going to be heard here.
Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider. Bobby, always good to talk with you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. There's a lot there, LZ. He sounded a lot more like, look, this is we're starting over. We're going to get what we're going to get inside this bubble. Now, he also said, I think what's important that, look, if LeBron and AD are on the floor together, you got as good a shot as anybody. Do you still feel the same way? We will do that next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So you feeling better, or you feeling about the same, or is it possible to actually feel less good, worse, LZ, after that conversation with Bobby Marks about where the Lakers are in the bubble?
I feel worse because he said something that I said, which when I was saying it didn't make me feel good, even though I felt it was true. And then he said it, so I was like, well, maybe it could be true, which is the Portland Trailblazers have enough to make it to the finals, man. Mm-hmm. Like, if they get past the Lakers, why are you doubting that they can get past all the other teams? Because
oh, sure.
If you really feel that the Lakers are the best team and they can win a championship, if you beat their squad, then by just basic, comparison properties, you're supposed to believe that squad has a chance to win a chip. And they're playing that well. And wouldn't it be crazy? Like, wouldn't it be, like, butt-naked crazy? Like, jump out the window, fall on the ground crazy if Carmelo Anthony wins a championship
in this
situation.
I didn't think that's where you're going. That's a great point. Yeah, it would.
Like, considering how the league tried to cancel him, he goes over to Portland. We, shrug our shoulders like, we see what happens. He's been balling, by the way. Don't know if you've been paying attention. It's not just him. It's not just CJ. It's not just Gary Trent Jr., who Bobby brought up and has been killing the game as well. But Melo's been balling too. Wouldn't it be crazy after all of this, Carmelo Anthony ends up with the NBA champion as the starting small forward for the Portland Trailblazers?
Yeah, crazy indeed. Yes, for sure. Look, let's stop for a second. I'm not saying this is exactly
Hammer
what's
time.
Happening, but I'm also saying that this is a real possibility. This could be exactly what I was saying 2 months ago, 3 months ago. It's going to take them a minute to find their legs in this bubble. Then I understand that other teams have come out firing, and that's good for them. That's fine. But the way the Lakers look right now is exactly what I was afraid of, which is they just come in and they just don't look like they looked before. And it doesn't mean that it's not coming back. It means that they're just not quite right, that everything that was clicking and easy. I mean, regardless, whether it's basketball or tennis or golf or any of the things that we still do as non-professionals, right? There are some days you're out there and it's just really easy, right? Every shot you try to hit, you execute. Every move that you make works perfectly. And then there are some days where you can't do anything right. And I understand that these guys are professionals and we're just weekend warriors. I get that. But the same basic principles apply. And right now it just feels like everything they're trying to do, doesn't work. I also believe that they're still the team to beat. I also believe that they still have the best tandem. I still believe that they're very well coached. I still believe that they're going to figure it out. I feel less great saying that than I did 24 hours ago before seeing them go 2-for-19 from behind the line. But they're not a team that's going to shoot, you know, 10%. That's not what they are. They're better than that. And the numbers will find the natural order of things. But it just, because it's a restart, because it's a reboot in such a unique, unusual, first time ever environment, it's not a surprise that it's taken some time for them to get going again. And I can't, because I want to panic, LZ. My heart is telling me, oh crap, there's a problem here. This team looks terrible. This team looks downright bad without LeBron James on the court. But my brain is telling me, hold on a second. They've played 5 games after being off for 4 months. If they open the season 2-3, it wouldn't be great. You wouldn't be thinking, okay, this is a team that's about to go win an NBA championship. But it also wouldn't be the end of the world where you're saying, what the hell is going on with these guys? There's a chance that it's just that. Now, if we get into the first round, and to your point, Portland presents a big problem because Memphis, you can kind of figure it out on the fly and you're not really at any risk of getting eliminated. Portland brings elimination into the process. You still have a couple of weeks before you have to go play a playoff series. And I still have a great deal of faith that they're going to figure it out.
Well, I think first it's important to note that I'm not a weekend warrior, Travis. I'm a warrior all week long. Including the weekend. So let me get that out there, out there. Right.
Okay.
I don't win every battle. I don't win every battle unless it's a snake draft. But
you know, I just
want you to know.
2 in a row.
I think the streak has stopped, my friend.
Yeah. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
No. I looked at that, and here's the thing. We're getting off topic here, but that's fine. Yesterday's snake draft was as competitive as anyone we've ever had. This one should have been really close. And I'm not even arguing that I should have won. What I'm arguing is that no matter who won, it should have been 51-49, 52-48.
Everyone wins.
As lopsided as it is, it's a joke. I've completely punted on these. It's rigged. I don't know how, but this was supposed to be close, and it's not. So I dismissed the legitimacy of all the snake drafts.
Okay, what's next? So what's next, Travis? The mail-in ballots are all going to be fraudulent? That's what you're doing right now. You're trying to undermine our system right here because you don't feel good. But it's all right.
Well, if the system is broken, it needs to be rebuilt. I mean, I'm here to point out the fact.
The system didn't tell you to choose Bloody Mary. As soon as you said Bloody Mary, I was like,
now you're rewriting history. Last night you were still texting about how you don't know the snacks. That one was rattling around in your brain. And now you're trying to back. Bloody Mary, you didn't say anything in the moment.
Bloody Mary did stand out a little bit. It's like if all these things are doing their own thing, one of these things do not belong.
Gotta have variety, like, Rush. Gotta
I understand.
Variety.
All right.
I mean, I understand. But let's just put it this way. Your Bloody Mary was the unicorn of your draft.
That's fine. Yeah, they're my picks. I'll live with them.
So, well, I'm glad you will. Listen, I am concerned. I'm concerned because, again, this isn't necessarily a situation where the offense is struggling and they're just got to figure out how to get guys open. If it was like that since they got in the bubble, then I'd be like, they're going to figure it out. But it's not like that. It's not that they're struggling to get guys open. It's that the open guys are struggling to knock down shots. Now, when you know that your offense is clicking and you've designed certain plays so that certain guys can get those shots, that means you are confident that they're gonna knock them down at a healthy clip to justify those play calls. And you don't win 50-plus game in this league, especially playing less than 70 games, unless that's true, unless that aspect of your offense rings true. So I'm playing just a hint of radio because, like you said, Travis, in my gut, this isn't who they are.
Right.
This isn't who they are as individuals. This isn't who they are as teams. But what it does do is begin to give a team confidence because now you got James Harden. He's sitting there like going, oh, hell, I had 10 turnovers, and we didn't have Westbrook, and we just beat the Lakers by 16? Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident, and I don't want people to feel confident. I want you to be scared to face the Lakers. The way people were scared, when Shaq and Kobe was coming in the next round, people were scared, man. I don't want people looking at AD and LeBron and licking their chops.
Well, I generally agree with that, but last night was not just we beat the Lakers by 16. They beat, and I know they didn't have Russ, but the Lakers didn't play LeBron. So you can almost take that and just put it into a separate category of itself. Look, Rockets looked really good last night. I'm not going to sit here and say that they didn't look good. That when James Harden gets going like that, how many did he finish with last night? He had 39 points. I mean, it was just an incredibly James Harden-y performance. He was 12 for 12 from the foul line. He made more than half of his shots. He made half of his 3-point. It was a James Harden game. LeBron didn't play. So you can kind of take last night to a degree, not just that they lost, the shooting is still a major problem, but I don't know if the Rockets are walking out of there with their chest out, knowing that LeBron was sitting there with his mask on all night, not playing. Because they know, like you just said, had they beat him by 16 with LeBron on the court, I would agree with you that they walked out there saying, all right, let's go, let's do this thing. But they walked off that court saying, that's a good win for us, but that dude did not play last night. They know that.
I mean, of course they know that, but they also know that their dude didn't play last night either. Westbrook is a very important part to what they do. That's 30 points plus, if you add the assist, that was eliminated from your offense as well. And you still manage, even without LeBron James, even with James Harden, you know, turning the ball over as much as he did, they still scored 113 points. That's pretty impressive. And the only thing that the Lakers truly have to pull out of that is say Kyle Kuzma played well again. And that maybe the questions about our third scorer are finally being answered. That Kyle, you know, needed that one more offseason, and this offseason came during the quarantine to really kind of hone in on some things. Because I'm going to be honest with you, he looks legit. He looks pretty good for us now.
He does.
Yeah, but that's the only thing.
He's also
that is the only thing.
This is last night too, but he always looks a lot better when he's in the starting lineup, and he always looks better when LeBron isn't there because he just gets more opportunities. And I understand that last night was the first one that LeBron has missed, and he's played better prior to that. But I keep telling myself this, and this is more of an intellectual response. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, shooting, I agree with you. But the blocks, only one turnover the entire game. Two steals.
No, he was good.
Some assists. His overall game is starting to show up now, I guess is what I'm saying. Because shooting, just like with the Lakers as a team, it's going to come and go. But overall, he's just playing better. He's doing more. He's stuffing the stat sheet. And that block on Harden was impressive.
It was impressive. Let's just say there are fewer things to be distracted with inside the bubble. Let's just leave it at that. And maybe that has something to do with why he's playing as well as he is. I keep telling myself the Lakers did not get bad for no reason. You know what I mean? And it's important that I think everybody keeps telling themselves that as well. The Lakers are not a 10% three-point shooting team. They're shooting terribly right now. But I think it's more of a couple of things. The newness of the bubble, the uniqueness of the bubble, and just one of those things. It's just one of those things where everybody's gone bad at once. I would not be surprised if when they go back on that court the next time, if all of a sudden, the ball's going in. I thought it might happen last night, and it didn't. I could be wrong the next time, but they did not get bad overnight. I do not think that this is a team that just forgot how to play. Well, we got lots more time to get into that as well. Speaking of a guy that didn't forget how to play, Tiger Woods, despite it being kind of cold, despite him being kind of old, right in the middle of the mix. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So, LZ, you know some television executives have some very, very big smiles on their faces after yesterday. With regards to the PGA Championship being played in San Francisco, because Tiger Woods is right smack in the middle of this thing. Tiger played yesterday early, which means he's going to play late today. They're going to get a full dose of Tiger. But Tiger put a 68 up, 2 under par. He's 3 shots off of the lead. Jason Day, Brendan Todd have that lead. But Tiger looked a little old. He looked a little stiff along the way, but he also looked pretty damn good. He made a handful of birdies along the way. He had a stretch where he really did not look good at all. He kind of sprayed it all over. And old man Tiger, that's usually the kiss of death because he doesn't typically collect it again. He did yesterday, and we get at least one more day, and I'm optimistic about the weekend too, where Tiger's going to be right in the middle of the mix. And this isn't a golf tournament, but this is rather a sporting event, and that's what Tiger brings.
Yeah, I mean, listen, even I peeked around a little bit, kind of kept my eye on it, just kind of, yeah, I know. Now, in full disclosure, it initially started as an accident. I turned the television on, and it just happened to be on golf. But I didn't turn it right away, in full disclosure, because I couldn't find a remote control. But the point being, I saw some golf, and I saw some Tiger, and I looked, and I was like going, he looks old.
He does
look old. But old guys can win golf tournaments. Mm-hmm. This isn't, you know, he looks old and he's in a sport for young people. No, he's in a sport where athleticism can easily be compromised with age, but made up for with increased skill and knowledge and wisdom and know-how. Golf mm-hmm. is beautifully one of those sports where you can lose five steps and still be a champion no one can beat because you just know how to play. And I think this is the part of Tiger Woods' dominance, because I still consider him to be dominant, and I consider him to be dominant because people still care. And they still care passionately to the point in which he's the only person they care about. So he's dominant. May not be in wins and losses, but he's dominant in the sport. And so this is the aspect of his dominance in which you get to see the skill really come through. Because the guy who used to rip the ball 5,000 yards with every swing, he's never coming back. He's long gone. So now we got to deal with Tiger Woods, the crafty veteran.
Yeah, a couple of things. By your definition of dominance, he absolutely is. If dominance is measured in relevancy and people paying attention, he's the most dominant player in the field by a mile. If dominance is measured in how you play, and that's a totally different thing, because I know you're not a golf guy, but I think you'll certainly understand this. Tiger Woods is the only golfer I've ever seen in my life, and really one of a very small handful of athletes I've ever seen in my life, where every time they needed to do something, where every time they needed to make a shot, every time they needed to roll in a putt, every time they needed to complete a pass, they did. Right. Michael Jordan, when Michael Jordan had the ball in his hands at the end of the game, you weren't sitting there going, OK, is he going to make it? You sit there watching going, how is he going to make it? And the shock was when it didn't go in. When you watch Joe Montana drive down the field at the end of the game, it wasn't, ooh, are the 49ers going to get in? It was, who's he going to throw it to? And on the rare occasions it didn't happen, you were shocked by what went wrong. Tiger Woods, for the better part of 12 years or so, if he needed to make a putt, he made it. I don't care if it was a 5-footer or a 15-footer or whatever it was. Tiger stood over that ball, and you knew that ball was going in the hole. You knew it. And the only surprise was on the rare occasion when it would lip out. And the biggest difference in his game right now is when you watch him play, you don't have that feeling anymore. He still looks the same, a little less hair. He's got a little more age in his face, but he still looks great. Like, physically wise, he's a fit, strong guy. He's got a back of an 80-year-old. He's just busted up. But he just doesn't have that gear that he had for a long time that all of these great guys do, where it's not will he do it, it's how he's going to do it, and that's the problem, because there are other guys out there that have the ability to make those shots now, that have the ability to roll that ball into the hole. And Tiger standing over 10-footers now, you can tell he's just not comfortable. He's just not Tiger Woods like that. He's Tiger Woods as far as eyeballs. He's Tiger Woods as far as popularity and passion, like you're talking about. But yesterday, 68 was nice, but he had to grind out that 68. And you look at the guys at the top, notably guys like Brooks Koepka and Jason Day and, you know, the incredible Hulk, Bryson DeChambeau. These guys are out there, and they're just kind of knocking it around out there like they're in a walk in the park. Tiger's fist fighting that golf course.
First of all, how do you break a golf club?
You got to be real damn strong.
DeChambeau? The hell? I was crazy. I was like, is it corked? Like Sammy Sosa's bat? And what's going on with that? Like, how do you?
Well, that's not corked. I don't think the club is corked. No. You know, they're put it to you this way, LZ, that DeChambeau's put on about 50 pounds in, give or take, a year or so. That always is going to make some eyebrows go
up. He looked round to me. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't have a history, but he looks around to me. I'm going to put it that way.
He looks very, very different. And he's gone from looking like a regular-looking guy to a guy that looks like he didn't used to in a relatively short period of time. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Let me just put this out in the universe. When there is a series of articles where you have to talk about not taking stuff, that's a problem. You know what I mean? Like his trainer says he would never, ever do anything like that. When all the other players on tour are kind of looking at him like, okay, buddy, that's the thing. That, to answer your question, is how you break a driver, is by being real, real strong and hitting the ball very, very hard. I'd never seen that before. I'd seen equipment malfunction, but I'd never seen a club just snap at the neck the way that his did yesterday.
That was crazy. And I am looking at the before and after pictures to your point. And I could see where some people may think he's on like HGH or something like that. But he's so fat that if he is on HGH, who goes on HGH and then doesn't hit the gym? Like HGH, you're supposed to go to the gym because the gains are going to be bonkers. He just said, just give me the human growth, but I'm not really trying
His gains on the golf course have been bonkers. I mean, he's hitting it 50 yards past other pros. That doesn't happen. I mean, he's not going to be in an underwear ad anytime soon. I understand that. But he's strong as an ox. I mean, he can hit the ball a mile. And he's almost universally disliked on tour. He's great. You know, he's not Tiger. Obviously, no one ever is or has or probably ever will be. But what that dude brings to the golf course is most people hate his guts. And that's fun. You know what I mean? Most people are rooting against him. And that's fun.
Yeah, he's just I can't get into the weeds too much about the personalities of these guys. I'll just say he does look different, and that did catch my eye. I was like, "You broke a golf club? Wait, Tiger's never broken a golf club, not accidentally. He's broken one maybe on purpose. I'm sure Brooks Koepka has broken some stuff on purpose, but you just trying to play a game and you just snap a golf club? What the hell?" But back to old man Tiger. I'm rooting for the old man because as a fellow old man, I need faith in knowing that I can still do some stuff. And for some reason for me, if Tiger Woods still matters on Sunday, that bodes well for all middle-aged men all over the world because he's had 19 back fusions, 20 knee surgeries, and he's still out there competing. So that tells you, you know, there is something to be said about mind over matter, but I'm still focused in on the notion that he's at the beautiful point, and I love this point, to be quite honest with you, where you can't rely on your physical dominance or athleticism. You have to show us what you got with your skill. And I hear what you're saying, Travis. He's no longer the intimidator that once the ball was within a certain range of the hole, you just assumed it was going in. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I like watching him play chess with himself. I want to watch him figure it out. And I'm going to be following him. I am. I may not watch him, but I'm going to be aware of what's going on.
What he's done is he's humanized, right? Because of all those fusions, because of all the trouble that he had over the last 10 years or so, he went from being this guy that you almost couldn't relate to on any level because he was performing at such a high level. He was very aloof towards just about everybody. He really didn't engage on any level other than incredible athletic achievement. And now, like you just said, this is an older guy that's had all sorts of problems physically and otherwise, and he has started to re-engage with people. He does seem to be enjoying his celebrity more than he ever has in his entire life. And you're getting a whole group of people that are rooting for him, that are rooting for him differently. Before, as we wanted to see greatness, now we're rooting for him like you just described, which is, you know what, I'd like to see that old man get it together again and show these other guys what it's all about. And that's a more fun watch. It's a more emotional watch than just watching a guy tear everybody up. That's interesting for sure, but it's not really interesting on an emotional level. This is a far different deal. All right, the Dodgers are back at it tonight. They've got the LZ. You ready? The San Francisco Giants again. They open up a series with them. They got some pitching questions that I want to ask you too. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.